the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
John Gibbons is still away, so Sive O'Neill, climate and environmental researcher and contributor to the Irish Times, is with us for the last word on the environment. Sive, I see the Minister for Transport, Dara O'Brien, has been talking about rolling out on-street EV chargers by the end of the year. But it's not quite clear to me what exactly does he mean by that, because there's an awful lot of people who live in terraced houses, who don't have access to off-street parking, who would love to be able to run a cable to their car, aren't able to do so. But how are they going to be able to do so?
Yes, I have some concerns about this. Now, I should say I have been all week at a conference in Italy, which is all about active travel, mostly cycling. So perhaps my brain is in a different place to the ministers. I am concerned about this because we do not have a system in Ireland where you have an automatic right to park in a public place on the public road. You might traditionally park outside your house and maybe all your neighbours respect that, but you have no entitlement to that. So I fear that if we put in chargers to facilitate the small percentage of people who currently own EVs, we're creating a situation where there could be friction between neighbours as the share of EV ownership starts to increase. We're also making it difficult down the line to take cars off the side of the road altogether. We have far too many cars in many parts of our cities. They are clogging up our streets, and we should be promoting policies that encourage less parking outside of these, on these streets in the first place. So while I understand the frustration of people who find it difficult to charge their EVs in urban areas with terraced housing and so on, and I'm one of those. I don't own an EV, but I live on a terraced street. So if I did own an EV, it would definitely be a challenge. And it's also a lot more expensive. I think that we need to plan and site the EV charging points very carefully and in a way that doesn't interfere with any plans to make streets more accessible for cycling and walking. There's also an issue about the type of chargers and how they're going to work and all of that. I think that the minister clearly wants this to happen and he wants to facilitate higher ownership of EVs. But I'm not sure if we rush into this, we could end up creating a lot of problems for individual residents and their neighbours.
There's a few things in this, Sive, because there are people at present who try and run a cable along the footpath outside their house to their car. And there is the danger of people tripping over the cables. I've seen other cases in my area of people trying to run overhead cables via way of a sort of an arm, which then drops down to their car. But then, you know, will other people go into those parking spots and plug into somebody's home electricity? Or are we going to have the sort of an expansion of the existing charging spots, which a lot of people think are very expensive to recharge a car, by contrast with using your own home electricity supply?
I think we have to just roll it back a little bit. Just because you own property and you own a house and you might have a garden and you might have a gate and you might have a piece of footpath in front of that, you don't own the footpath and you don't own the public road. So the public road is a shared space, and the decisions about how that space is allocated rest with the local authority. Now, we can influence that as residents, but we can't just claim a piece of that street and say, well, that's mine, I'm putting my car there. That's like putting all of your furniture outside the house and saying, I'm just going to put it there because I'm just claiming that space for myself. And we would find that ridiculous, preposterous. We would find it very kind of inconsiderate of neighbours if we put our personal possessions out on the public road. But that's what we do all the time with cars. So if we're putting charging points that in some way recognize a kind of a vague right of some sort to park your car on the public road outside your house, I think that's going to create problems because people will say, well, you know, Matt, you have a charging point outside your house, but actually I want to use it and I don't have one. So, you know, why don't I get to park my car there?
The Climate Change Advisory Council's annual review for 2026 does have a piece on the, as a chapter on transport, and it's looking for accelerated investment in public transport, active travel, electric vehicle charging infrastructure and grid capacity. And it is interesting that they are focusing on electric vehicle charging infrastructure, because presumably that's for all the many private vehicles, the cars on the roads. But also you'd have to ask about things like charging the Dublin buses that have been purchased, which actually can't go out on the roads because there is nobody there for them, nowhere there for them to be charged.
Yes, I think there isn't enough emphasis really in their recommendations on the role of active travel. And as I say, I'm at a cycling conference, so maybe that's where I'm coming from this week. But I do feel that we're not actually acknowledging enough the role that active travel, by means accessible, walkable, cyclable neighbourhoods, can make a difference, a dramatic difference in urban areas. Because of e-bikes and because of e-cargo bikes, trips and journey distances that used to be really difficult to consider as a realistic option for many people now are an option. I mean, e-bikes are even available on the, bike share schemes and so on. You don't even need to own a bike. You can get off the train, jump on a bike and make your way to your destination. So the reality is we're not making those choices easy enough and available enough for people. We're not doing enough to get people out of cars, because even if we increase the rate of EV car ownership from its fairly low level at the moment now, and it's a surprisingly low share of new sales. That's what surprised me. But even if we increase it, we are not dealing with our congestion problems. We're not dealing with our health problems and our reliance too much on the car to do trips that we should be able to do walking, cycling or by public transport. So I just feel that the emphasis in their report, it's repeating a lot of the old recommendations that the council has made in the past. But the reality is that we're not doing the basic things well enough and fast enough. And active travel is one of those measures where you can actually roll out the infrastructure much more quickly, as we saw during COVID. And it's an awful shame there wasn't more emphasis on that potential in the report. Although it does have a small section there, but it's just, not foregrounded in the way that I think it should be.
Well, the report does say that expanded EV charging infrastructure and the real-time mapping of EV charging points would give people confidence to transition from petrol and diesel. Another listener says the EV socket will be integrated into the public lighting column, and that's a possibility, but that, of course, that means that it would be available to everybody. But here's one that says, as an EV owner with no home charging, the cost of ESB charging is extortionate compared to home charging. It equates to a cost of €1.80 a litre for petrol or diesel. Makes no sense. If it's that expensive, that surely doesn't make sense, does it, Sive? Where's the incentive for people to change?
I totally understand the frustration of that person. And, maybe the minister should be looking at why it's so expensive to use those public charging points in comparison to home electric charging. Obviously, the fast chargers are more expensive in fairness, and there's more of those coming online. I would just say as well that there's a few things to note. Firstly, I think most people would be aware that the battery range now in sort of modern EVs that are available on the market today have improved dramatically. So you can get 400 odd kilometres on a single charge. And that means that the amount of recharging you have to do is considerably reduced. But secondly, I think that the policies that we have for some reason aren't inspiring confidence in people to shift from petrol and diesel vehicles to battery. And I don't understand that, actually. I think that needs some analysis.
Sorry, I thought this year electric vehicle sales were outdoing both petrol and diesel.
My understanding from what I was reading today is that that is not yet the case, or at least that the share of new cars is definitely increasing, but the share overall is still fairly low in comparison to the European average. Sorry, I can't put my...
No, I think in Ireland, I think actually electric vehicles are not outselling petrol and diesel combined, but they're outselling petrol and they're outselling diesel as a particular category at present. Let's move on from that. Another EPA report, damming on water quality of lakes, rivers and coastal waters. which strikes me as same as it ever was.
Yeah, this is frustrating because we've seen very little tangible progress in water quality. And even in places where water quality has improved, there have been some declines in other places. So overall, we're still seeing a very high level of 46% of the monitored river bodies are in moderate, poor or bad quality, which is very worrying. But what I would just say about this as well is that it's hard to actually understand this information. First of all, there are different types of water bodies. We've got lakes, we've got rivers, and then we've got coastal areas. Some parts of the country are more affected by pollution from phosphorus and other areas more from nitrate pollution. And the way that the EPA write these reports, they give a lot of detailed, granular information about where the problems are and what parts of the country are most affected. However, they don't really give us explanations for why the pollution levels are the way they are and what would need to happen in order for those trends to be reversed. Now, you'd have to read the long reports that they publish annually to get a handle on that. But when they just repeat, when they release this monitoring data, there's very little context. There's very little sense of what an ordinary person can make of this. Does that mean it's not safe to swim in the river? Does it mean that the water I'm drinking is not safe? It's very hard to understand the language they're using. And, you know, it's not surprising to me that the farmers' organizations then come out and say, well, that's very disappointing because of the scale of work being done by farmers, they say. But in fact, we know from, you know, the cases that Antashka have been taking in the courts and all the way to Europe, that the government's measures that are being introduced for the agricultural sector to improve water quality are not ambitious enough and are not going to deliver the improvements in water quality that are needed. That's Antashka's case. But there's very little discussion of what those measures are. So I think for an ordinary person reading this, it's like, well, farmers say they're doing things. The government say things aren't getting better. Antashka's taken a case to the courts. What's the real story here? So I think for the purposes of getting the public to understand what's going on, the EPA reports should be able to explain different types of water pollution, what causes them, why it's bad, how it affects habitats, how it affects fish, how it affects drinking water, how it affects everything else, other ecosystems, and explain that better to us, because the data by itself, without that context, I think means that we tend to ignore it, frankly. You know, we don't respond with the level of urgency that it requires.
Okay. Sive O'Neill, climate and environmental researcher, thank you.
The last word. With Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.